this morning in two verses of Scripture. We'll start in Proverbs chapter number 29. Both passages that we will look at are very familiar. I'd like to take the combination of both of those passages and give us a thought for the message today. Proverbs chapter number 29, we'll start there. Then we'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, exactly where Brother John read this morning for devotion. You say, well, that's very familiar for the time we're in the new year, and it is, it's fitting, but I pray that the Lord would challenge our hearts and convict us with the thought today. Proverbs chapter 29. Do continue to remember those that are sick. Brother Brooks, not feeling too well, still battling his health issues. We and him went and seen Brother Bobby Jean yesterday. He's healing up from that surgery, so keep him in your prayers. Amen. Good to see you here, battling your sicknesses and are here with us. And those that are out, remember them. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. When you see it, you probably could quote some of it. I know you know it. You've heard it. Most of you have. If you have it, that's fine. We'll hear it today, right? There's a time in my life when the first time I heard some scriptures. Amen. The book ought to stay fresh and new to us all the time. Proverbs 29, verse 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It's very clear today that in the church age that we live in, the vision that we receive is from the law, the word of God itself. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word of God is described in some fashions as the law. It is God's written words. It is God's vision to mankind. There was a time before they had the complete revelation of the word of God that God did speak many times through visions, revealing himself to men to reveal this truth to other men. Where there is no vision, the people perish. A vision is simply a revelation from God. In that time, revelation through a vision that people saw, God himself speaking through angels and other things, the angel of the Lord, that God pre-incarnated in the Old Testament, showing up to mankind. God spoke. And when God gave a vision, gave hope to people. Without a vision, people were perishing without God. We need a revelation from God. We get it from the Word of God today. We need our eyes open to the will of God in our lives so we can please the Lord, because without a vision, people perish. Someone said potential ceases. Many things go wrong when people have no vision. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Where there is no vision, the people perish. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We need our eyes open to the will of God for our lives. We need God to take the word of God and give us a vision for His will for our lives. That ought to be goal for all of us, is to know, what would Thou have me to do? What is God's will for my life? You come into this new year, you come into this service this morning, you ought to be always desiring, hey God, what is your will for my life? I need a vision, a revelation from God out of His book to show me discernment for my will, to please Him. What is the will of God for your life? What is the vision? You'll find it in the Word of God. Without a vision, people perish. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, revealing the vision of the Word of God to them, so they wouldn't perish. 2 Corinthians 8 and 10, and herein I give my advice. I like good godly advice. Good biblical advice. Advice from the Word of God. Paul said, I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. It's good for you. It'll help you. Who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. There was a time in this Corinthian church where they had began to do some things. It was expedient. It was good for them to do it. They were forward about it. The word forward means to be eager or ready or strongly inclined about a certain thing. They had begun this eager, profitable thing for their lives. Paul said, "Herein I give my advice. It's expedient, you who have begun before." You ever began something and didn't fulfill it? This is the Corinthian church. This is what a lot of people call New Year's resolution. To begin something only to have it fall away in a couple of months. You're going to eat a little better. Going to lose a few pounds. And most of the time it's always something physical. There's nothing wrong with some physical things. You should have bodily exercise popping a little. But hey, what about some spiritual desires for the future in our life? A vision from the Lord out of the Word of God of what God would have us to strongly incline ourselves to be forward to do. What would God want you to do? What is God's will for our lives in 2022? And who would ever thought we'd have got there? If God tarries in the year plays itself out, hey, what would God have us to strongly incline ourselves to do? What vision might He show us from the Word of God for our will to please Him with our lives? You know what? You got to get a vision. You got to get in the Word of God to get a vision. You got to know what God's will is for your life. And it needs to cultivate something, convict or challenge or correct something in your life to fulfill God's will in your flesh. To please Him. Paul said, hey, you were forward a year ago. I mean, you were strongly inclined. I mean, the Word of God and conviction of the Holy Ghost will motivate something in your life and say, hey, that's what I need to do. I need to do something with what I've heard. Maybe I need to go to an altar. Maybe I need to repent of my sin. Maybe I need to be saved. Maybe I need to serve the Lord. Maybe I need to lay some things on the altar. Hey, it's good to be strongly inclined and forward about it. Hey, but what we need is to perform the doing of it. Don't just sit back there today and say, hey, preacher, you're right. That's exactly what I need. Holy Ghost, I know what you're saying in my heart. Hey, don't just be forward about it. Don't be strongly inclined about it. But go forward and do something with it. That ought to be the goal. That's what we expect. That's what we want. Amen. Hey, we want to attempt great, expect great things from God. You got to attempt great things for God. What would God have you to do? They were forward about it. Paul's advice is verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. I mean, what are you waiting on? I mean, we're closer today than we were yesterday. So, preacher, we don't know when He's coming back. You're exactly right, but we know He's coming. And we know we need to be pleasing Him. And if you get in the Word of God, God will give you the vision so you won't perish. Your life will be profitable and serve the Lord, and happy is he that keepeth the law. Want a little bit more happiness, a little more joy, a little more fulfillment out of your life? Get hold of the vision of God and serve the Lord. Don't just be eager about it. Don't just be forward about it. Don't be strongly inclined about it. Simply do it. Now, therefore, verse 11, perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, there's that forwardness, that eagerness, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Said, preacher, I'd like to do that, but the only problem is every time I try, I fail. Or when I look within myself, I say, hey, who am I to do something for God? I'm surely not worthy. I surely don't deserve it. You know what I'd say? You're exactly right. None of us do. But you know what? God just wanted to know if you're available, amen. And God can do exceedingly above more than you can ask or think with your life if you would trust it with Him. Yeah, amen. That's why I believe the Apostle Paul, the Holy Ghost, said in verse 11. Because our always, when we hear that eagerness and motivation to do something, it's always an excuse why not. Paul said in verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, are you willing? If God is able, and He is, Are you willing to let him have your life and see what he can do with it? Oh, God's looking for somebody willing. Oh, he's looking for is an Isaiah. Here I am, Lord, send me. God, whatever you want, whatever you reveal to me through the vision, I'm willing to do it. For if there be first a willing mind, look at this, look at this. I've said this verse a lot, and it bears to be repeated over and over. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What do you have? Not what someone else has. Not the ability of someone else. God just wants you and what you have. You say, preacher, it's not much. Yeah, but little as much when God is in it. He can do great things. You look at the lives that people have been used by God. You know what they were? They were just sinners that were willing to give God what they had, and God made it more than they could ever dream. Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, the great patriarchs, women and men that done great things for God, they were simply willing to give God what they had. Noah, Enoch, Abel, Sarah, Rahab the harlot, Jephthah. Hey, whoever you are, God just wants to know, can he have what you got to use for his glory? You know what you need? You listen to me. You need to get a hold of vision.
Yeah. Amen.
You need to get a hold of what God's saying. You need to get a hold of what he's speaking to your heart. And you need to be willing to say, hey, God, here it is. Do what you want. And I guarantee you, you'll be shocked in what he can do. They begun, the only problem was, like many others, they didn't finish. They were forward, very eager and strongly inclined about it. In their spirit, they were motivated, but in their flesh, they never fulfilled. They were forward in spirit, but they never went forward in the physical. Is that not the same today? Many are forward in spirit, but never fulfill it physically. We need to be willing to give God what we have and go forward and perform the doing of it. We need to get in the book, get the vision of the Lord and his will, and get busy performing it. So with those two verses, I want to preach on this thought, the vision performed. Not just a vision, but a vision that's performed. A vision that latches a hold of the heart and is fulfilled in the life of an obedient believer. I want to look at some things this morning that we should all want, if you will, in the light of the season of where we're at, to see done this year. You know, not one thing wrong with having some goals in your life. Some expectations, some things that you'd like to see performed and done. I mean, that's exactly what happened in this passage. They were forward a year ago. There were some things they were eagerly and strongly inclined to do, but they never fulfilled it. And Paul's giving some advice. Hey, those goals that you had were good. And this, it was a goal of giving and the grace of giving. Hey, you had some great things that you wanted to do. Hey, goals are good, but we need to perform those goals. Let me give you about five of them this morning. Number one, you know what I'd want to see done this year? I would like to see God use us to help others. I mean, get a hold of the vision that your life is here for someone else.
Yeah.
And that God wants to use you to help someone else. Hey, do you agree with me there's a world in need of God? No doubt about that. Hey, church family members in need of touch of God. Hey, may God maybe get on the vision that God could use me. He could use you to help someone else along the way.
Amen.
That'd be a good thing to see done this year. To be eagerly inclined to say, God, I want you to take my life and help somebody. But to see it done, a vision performed. Hey, that God might use my life and yours. Look in John chapter 6. Let me give you an example of this. John chapter number 6. Amen. You see the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter number 6. I mean, that's a great task. A great number of people. There's a great need here. Sometimes when you look at the need of the situation, it kind of overwhelms us that, hey, that's too much to be done. And surely it was. 5,000, not count the women and children. A great multitude of people. Jesus, and it looked like just His disciples were there, but they were more there than that. There was a young lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Hey, it didn't seem like much to the world. Matter of fact, Philip kind of threw it at the Lord like it's a joke. Hey, you going to feed 5,000? Not counting women and children. Hey, Lord, all we got is a young lad. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Think that'll feed him? And you better believe it is. If he's willing to give what he has, and that's all God ever wants is what you have, not what you have not. God's able to do exceedingly above what we can ask or think.
Amen.
Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'd like to see God use my life, use your life to help somebody else in need. Hey, but before it happens, you got to get a hold of vision. Look at this in John chapter number 6. Look in verse number 5. You got to get the vision. John 6 and 5. The Bible says this. The Bible said when Jesus then, what did He do? Lifted up His eyes. Do you know what you got to do? You got to get your eyes out of the dirt. You got to quit looking down and having pity parties with yourself and say, not me. I can't do nothing. The Bible said the Lord lifted up His eyes. Hey, lift up your eyes and see that there's a world that needs help. And that God could use me and use you to do it. Amen.
Amen.
I can come out the pulpit with glasses on, son.
Amen.
Matthew Sellers told me the other day, he said, preacher, I didn't know you got them glasses on. I ain't seen you at the pulpit lately. Maybe that's why. Had to prove him a liar. Amen. At least I know he's paying attention. Amen. God wants to use us. You got to lift up your eyes and see the need. The Bible said when Jesus lifted up His eyes, look in verse 5, and saw a great company coming to Him, He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him. Do you know the Lord will reveal the Word of God just to prove you? He'll give you a vision out of the book just to see what you're willing to do with it. I mean, what an awesome thing that God would speak to you through His book and show you something He wants you to do just to prove your life whether you be obedient or not. Done it to prove Him. For He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, saith unto Him, and said it was Philip, but it was actually Andrew, His brother. There is a lad here. I guess Philip counted up the money and said, man, this is all we got, 200 penny worth. We can't buy enough bread for these. And Andrew said, by the way, Lord, all we have here is a little lad. Look, verse 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? We need to get a vision that God could use us to help others. Do you know what you need to be willing to do? In verse number 9, you need to be willing to give what you have. Do you know it was presented to the Lord by Andrew that, hey, this lad's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Do you know you never find one time where that little young boy said, hey, you ain't get my lunch. I mean, somebody else volunteering his lunch to somebody else. That's about like going to work and somebody giving your lunch bag to somebody else. That ain't happening. I mean, they might be hungry, but you didn't ask me because they have my food. This young lad never argued. He was willing to give what he had. Hey, he was making himself available to God. Amen. Do you know what God's looking for in 2022? The availability of others. And the willingness to say, God, here I am. If you can use my life to help somebody else, I am available for your use. Amen. What I have is at your disposal. You say, but you ain't got much. But you'd be surprised what God can do with it. It might look like it can't fix nothing. To that lad in the crowd, though, hey, 5 loaves and 2 fishes ain't nothing here. But if the Lord gets a hold of what you got, if God breathes on your talents and your abilities, man, there's no telling what God will do with it. It's endless what God could do. Hey, what we need is a vision to perform what God is showing us. Amen. Step out and watch the Lord use you. Hey, be a part of the solution instead of the problem.
Yeah, amen.
You know, we concentrate so much on the problem. 5,000? Not counting women and children. Hey, he wasn't a part of the problem. He wanted to be a part of the solution. Hey, let's watch and see what God can do. Amen.
Yeah.
What could God do with Hopewell Independent Baptist Church? What could God do with your family and your children? What could God do with you if you'd make yourself available and get hold of the vision and perform it? Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to see the Lord use us to help others. I mean, what good are we if we're not helping nobody else? What good is a lighthouse if it's not shining its light to weary sailors to find their way home? Amen.
Amen.
Be a part of the solution, not the problem. You know what I know about this boy? He was willing to use what he had for the Lord. He didn't argue to give it to the Lord. And you know what else I like about this old boy? He was around where the Lord was. You know, they'd have never said, hey, here's a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes if he'd have been out the creek fishing. He was around where the Lord was. There was something about that boy. I don't know what it was, but he wanted to hang around where God was. He wanted to see what Jesus did. And he brought his lunch, man. He planned on staying all day. He wasn't planning on just dropping in for a little while. He planned on staying, amen. Hey, if you want the Lord to use you, camp out around the Lord, amen. Get around where the Lord's working. Get around God's business and watch business pick up in your life, amen.
Amen.
Get around Him. Get in church. Get around prayer meeting. Get around the things of God. Make yourself available so you can perform the vision. To see the Lord use us to help others. He was around where Jesus was. And you know what? When Jesus used that boy's lunch, there ain't nobody bragging on that boy and his lunch. You know what they're bragging on? They're bragging on Jesus. You know what? If Jesus does decide to use our lives to help somebody else, you know who deserves all the glory? The Lord Jesus Christ deserves all the glory. Amen. Hey, Jesus can make more out of what you got if you're willing to give it to Him. That's what you see in verse 11, 12, and 13. He fed the multitude and they took up fragments and 12 baskets full, amen, that remained above them that had eaten, amen. Hey, God can do more with what you got if you just give it to Him.
Yeah, amen.
And in verse 14, you see, the Bible says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, ain't nobody bragging on that boy, said this of truth is a prophet that should come into the world. Hey, let the Lord use your life to help somebody else and let God get all the glory. Hey, number two, I'd not only like to see the Lord use us to help others, I'd like to see us put the spiritual first in our lives this year. Do you know you got a choice on what you want to put first, the physical or the spiritual? Look in Genesis 13. Once again, you see this phrase. He lifted up his eyes. Genesis 13. You got to get the vision. You got to hold of it. Hey, you got a choice in this matter. What do you want to do with it? Genesis chapter number 13. Get a hold of the vision. Hey, let's get a hold of the vision and see the Lord use us to put the spiritual before the physical. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, right? Hey, we need to put the spiritual first. You know what our problem is? We put the physical first. How about this year? Let's let the Lord see us put the spiritual first in our life and see what God can do with the vision. Genesis 13, look in verse number 10. Here's the example of Lot and Abraham. The Bible says in verse number 10 of Genesis 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot's got a vision. He's lifting up his eyes. You know what he sees? The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and behold all the plains of Jordan that were watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah. Hey, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw all the watered lands of Sodom and said, hey, that's a beautiful place. I'd like to go that way. Look in verse 14. On the contrary, look at here what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. He said, now you get a hold of the vision, son. He lifted up his eyes and made a choice to the physical. Now lift up your eyes and make a choice towards the spiritual. He said, lift up now thine eyes and lift to the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. One of them lifted up his eyes on the physical, and the other one lifted up his eyes on the spiritual. Lot chose the plains of Sodom, and God said, now lift up your eyes, son. And he said, look north, look south, look east, look west. You know what? If you put the spiritual first, hey, God will honor and God will bless your life this year. Amen. We're too busy putting our eyes on the physical. Both lifted up their eyes. Lot chose the world and Abraham trusted God. What are you going to do this upcoming year? There's going to be many a times you're going to lift up your eyes. There's so much temptation the devil's put before us. So many things that's trying to lure us away from God and put us in the wrong direction. Sodom's an evil, wicked place. And Lot said, I like the glitter. I like the glamour. I think I'll go that way. What you going to do? You going to get a hold of the vision of the world and the glitter of the world? Or you going to get a hold of the vision of the spiritual and say, I'm going to choose God over the world? Lot chose the world. And Abram trusted God. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom in verse 12. And in verse number 18, the Bible said, and Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. There's one guy that chose the physical, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know the story, the bad tragedy that takes place. He started pitching his tent towards Sodom. It wasn't long he was in the gates of Sodom. He was living in Sodom, and Sodom was affecting his family. But Abraham chose the spiritual. Abraham built an altar to the Lord. Said, I'm going to trust God and pray to God. And God blessed him and cursed the other. What you going to do this year? You going to put the physical first or the spiritual? You're going to think that it looks so good and it might look good. But that pleasure in sin will only last a little season. Lot, Abraham built an altar. Look at where he built it. Look at this in chapter 13, verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. You see that? The plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Do you know what Abram's got? Abram's got a vision of the spiritual. And he's got his tent pitched down at Mamre, and he's built an altar unto the Lord. Look at Genesis 18. Look in Genesis 18. Look in verse number 1. He's down at Mamre obeying the Lord, right? Genesis 18 verse 1, the Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto him. Hey, you know who showed up to him in Genesis 13? It was the Lord. He said, lift up your eyes, boy. He said, look at what I'm going to give you. And he chose the spiritual over the physical. He built an altar unto the Lord, set a pitch of his tent towards Sodom. He trusted God instead of his flesh. And he went down to where God told him to go. And he shows up and he's living down in Mamre. And look at this. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of where? Mamre. The same place he built an altar to the Lord. The same place he trusted the Lord with. If you'll trust the Lord with the spiritual, he'll reveal visions to you. And when you need more, he'll give you more vision. He showed up to him again and showed him more of what he was going to do. Because he chose the spiritual over the physical. He obeyed the Lord. Amen. Now listen to this right. I wrote it in front of my Bible some time ago. Listen, I'm talking about a vision. Talking about trusting the Lord. Talking about obeying his word. Listen to this right here. Somebody said, I don't know who said it, but I wrote it down one day. He said, put the word of God in a man's hand. You got a Bible in your hand?
Amen.
Set the throne of grace wide open before him. Do you know that you have access to the throne room of God because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can go to Him and pray anytime.
Yeah.
He's got a Bible in His hand and a wide open door to the prayer rooms of God. Set it before Him. He said this, and you need no omniscience to tell you that man's true value. If he lets the Bible lie unopened and unread. You got a book, you got a Bible, you got the vision, you got the Word of God, but you leave it unread. And if the throne of grace, his access to heaven in prayer, stands till death, idle and unwanted, if the depths and the heights, the nobleness and the magnificence, the goodness and the beauty of the divine things have no command over him and no attraction to him, then you do not wish to know the meanness of that man's mind. Look at what he has chosen. Look at what, and weep at what he has neglected and is lost forever. Hey, if you neglect the word of God that you have in your hand and the open access to the throne room of God, hey, you are making the wrong choices in your life.
Amen.
Perform the vision The vision needs to be performed. Hey, how about let the Lord use it? Look at number three. Let me say this before I go on. Hey, you know, Joshua made the right choice. Well, you know, it's probably hanging in your house, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you know what Joshua told that crowd? He said, choose you this day. The choice is yours. Whether you serve the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, you can serve the gods that your father served and your mama served. You can serve the gods in the land you dwell. The choice is yours.
Yeah.
Joshua said, but as for me and my house, this is his choice. Hey, I got a choice to serve the gods of my fathers or the gods in whose land I dwell. You can serve the gods of America. You can serve the gods of our forefathers have served. Or you can choose to serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, how about make some spiritual choices instead of physical this year?
Yeah, amen.
And a vision to perform it. How about this? You know what I'd like to see? Look in Psalms 121. I want to see the Lord help somebody. I want to see some help from the Lord. I want to see some people choose the spiritual. Amen. I want to see some people give their lives to help others. I want to see the Lord help somebody. Don't you want to see the Lord help? Man, I want to see some help for people. You got people you know, and I know that they need some help from God. Amen. And you know what I want to see this year? I want to see the Lord help them. I want to see the Lord come through. Look what the Lord, look what the psalmist said. The Lord lifted up his eyes and saw a boy that was willing to help. Lot lifted up his eyes and chose the world, while Abraham lifted up his eyes and chose the spiritual. The psalmist exhorts us in Psalms 121 verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes. That's your choice. Unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. You know what I'd like to see this year? I'd like to lift up my eyes on the Lord and watch Him do some works. And help some people. Lift it up unto Him. Now, I was watching a ball game yesterday. And at the end of the ball game, they interviewed, I think he was a receiver. And he was a backup receiver. He shouldn't have been in the game, but some of the other guys wanted to, the way they do with these bowl games, they want to prepare themselves for the NFL, so they lay out of their bowl games and don't want to participate with their team because they want to advance to something greater. So it makes possibilities for people that's maybe a little less fortunate, maybe not as gifted as they are, to use their talents. And they used this boy, he's a backup, and he broke records, had all kind of yards. And so they interview him out at the end of the game and they said, hey son, they said, did you expect to do everything you did today? Now, I'm not saying that God's much interested in sports, but I like what the guy said there. He said, did you expect to do what you did today? He said, yeah, I did, because I've been praying for it. He said, I expected to do what I've done today because I've been praying to God about it, amen. Hey, you know, that's the kind of faith we need. I'm expected to do what I'm doing because I've been trusting and praying to God that God will do it through me. Yes, I might be second string and I ain't as great as somebody else, but I got a God that's greater and He can do it through me, amen.
Yeah, amen.
I like that, don't you? He said, I expected it because I've been talking to God about it. Hey, you know what I'm expecting this year? I'm expecting help from God from others' lives. You know why? Because I've been praying about it.
Amen.
And I know my God's able. I'm lifting up my eyes. From which cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. My God's able. There ain't nothing too hard for Him. Hey, when He does something, don't be shocked. Hey, see it as He's heard your prayer.
Amen.
What are you expecting Him to do? I'm expecting Him to give some help to people that are not so sure-footed. Look at verse 3. He said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth them will not slumber. Do you know what? As a pastor, sometimes you see people's feet that are slipping. And you see they're kind of a little bit rocky. You know what you do? You go to prayer and say, God, I'd like to see them get a little more sure-footed, a little more stability in their lives. The psalmist said, I'll lift up my eyes which cometh my help. He said, I know some people that's not as sure-footed and they need to get a little bit more stability in their lives. You know what I'm praying? God, sure them up.
Yeah, amen.
Settle them in. Get them sure-footed. Don't allow the devil to pull them away. This Psalm 73, Psalm Asaph, he said, I had well nigh slipped.
Yeah.
Psalm 73, verse 2, he said, I was slipping, man. I was sliding. I had no stability. I was just kind of shaky everywhere until I went into the sanctuary. And I heard therein, you know what I'm expecting from God? Some help from God. And I'm expecting as a man of God to mount this pulpit, open up that Bible, preach the truths of the Word of God, and that truth go forth across somebody's life that's slipping and convict their lives and get them settled and sure on a foundation to serve God.
Amen.
Hey, why? Because God can do it. I done lifted up my eyes to Him. I seen what He can do. Hey, I want to see Him help somebody, don't you? I want to see the people that are not sure-footed to get settled. I want to see Him help those that are tempted with evil. Look in verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. He knows what's going on. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Look in verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I want to see the Lord help those that are not sure-footed to get steadfast. I want to see the Lord help those that are being tempted with evil. And the devil's trying to pull and trying to lure and trying to bring forth the great lights of attraction to pull them away from God, that they would separate away from the world. You know He does it. Do you know there's people out there being tempted by the devil? Hey, some of you in here this morning, you're looking at the glitter. You're looking at the glamour. You're looking at the lights and saying, boy, look what that could be like. And the devil's not showing you the end of the lights. When they shut off the lights, when all hell breaks forth in your life, I want to see the Lord help you with it. I want to see Him pull you out of it. I want to see the Lord take people that's went away from the fold and went away from God. And those are maybe not even here today that used to be here, has took the allurements and took the bait of the devil, be reclaimed and be restored and walking with God again.
Amen.
I want to see that vision performed. I want to see God do what I know He can do. I want to see help for those that are not settled. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. The Lord can settle it. I want to see the Lord get some things settled in some people's lives. Faithful attendance, settled on their salvation, settled on their service for the Lord. I want to see the Lord help those that are hurting. Don't you? I want to see people that's been struggling and battling and in and out and facing hardships. I want to see the Lord come through and answer those prayers. The prayers of the individuals, the prayers of the church. I want to see the Lord come through.
Yeah, amen.
I want to lift up mine eyes and see the Lord work in those that need help. Don't you?
Amen.
Do you know what we need this upcoming year? We need to see the vision played out and performed before our eyes. Where He takes our lives and uses them to help others. Where He'll take just a little bit of what we got and breathe on it and make something great. That He'll take our lives this year, that we would choose the spiritual over the physical, and God would use our lives for His glory. That God would come through and we would get our eyes on Him. Lift up our eyes instead of looking down on the vision of what God can do and watch Him touch and change lives. You got a vision? You need to get one. And you need to live it and watch God fulfill it in your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know what God wants to do? God wants to use your life to do something great. Why don't you come, lay yourself on an altar and say, God, it's me. It's a new year. Today's a new day. I'm tired of the old. I want to change. I want to walk with You. I want You to take my life and use it to please You, to help someone else. I want You to help me to choose the spiritual over the physical. I want to see You do great things, because that's what You do. Help me to lift up my eyes from my sin and despair, my disobedience, my lack of faith. Get a hold of your word and trust you like I used to. God, help me. Use me. I'm laying my life on the altar. It's yours for whatever you want. I'm like that little lad. I ain't got much, but I want to be around you, and I'm making myself available. If you want my cup, if you want my five loaves and my two fish, they're yours. Whatever you want to do with it, use it for your glory. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You need to be saved. Why don't you come lay yourself on an altar and say, God, it's me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die without you as my Savior. I want you to save me. I want you to use me. I'm giving my life to you. Whatever you need today. May God take your life and do more than you can ask or think. Why don't you obey Him today? Why don't you lift up your eyes? And perform the doing of it. God, I want you to take that eagerness, that forwardness that's in my heart right now, and fulfill it until the day you come. Amen. Everybody stand. Let's sing something. Amen. If you maybe still need to come, you help yourself. If you're still praying, help yourself. Nobody.